You're listening to Doc of the Nation Science Friday. I am Ira Flatow. Next up, a stem cell update. Scientists at the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine are using cardiac stem cells to fix damaged heart muscle. But you did know that you can find adult stem cells in the heart. That's one of the surprising features of this work. So far, these researchers have repaired broken hearts only in mice and rats, but they hope one day soon to use this technique on damaged human hearts. The Johns Hopkins scientists presented their research last month at the meeting of the American Heart Association, and the lead investigator joins now to talk about that work. Dr. Eduardo Marban is the chief of cardiology and the Michelle Murawski professor in cardiology at the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine in Baltimore. Welcome to Science Friday.
Good afternoon, Ira.
I hope I got your name pronounced correctly.
You did. You did very well.
Thank you. Well, I have a reputation for that. Anyhow, okay, give us a little background. Until recently, it wasn't believed that heart cells could regenerate, right?
That's right. Until recently, the dogma was that the heart cells that we have are the same ones we were born with. And so, for example, a heart attack that would kill off a number of cells would leave a zone of injury and scar that would last for the rest of one's life. But the discovery of these resident cardiac stem cells within the heart muscle itself give us room to believe, perhaps, that the heart does have a self-healing capacity to a certain extent.
How did you discover them?
We didn't. They were discovered by Piera and Versa in New York and separately by a group at Baylor in rats and in mice. They did a very simple experiment. They dissociated cells from the heart and looked for cells that had certain stem cell markers that are known to exist, for example, in stem cells in bone marrow. And eureka, they found them. They took the next logical step, see whether they could proliferate themselves in culture, and they could, and then they injected them into rats or mice that had had a recent heart attack, and they were able to regrow healthy, normal heart muscle.
And do you intend to try this out on people?
Well, what we've done is to follow up on those observations from New York and Baylor and to take little bits of normal heart muscle from humans undergoing biopsies. These are tiny little fragments that we get using a catheter. And we were able to isolate the same kinds of stem cells, apparently, that the rats and mice had from normal patients.
Mm-hmm. And I guess the next logical question would be, when can you try to see if you can repair human hearts?
Well, what we're doing right now is to develop and perfect the methods to propagate these cells in culture, in the laboratory. And once we standardize those methods and get them up to regulatory approval so that they can be manufactured in a consistent, clinically applicable manner, then we'll start designing the initial so-called phase one clinical safety trials to put them back into the same patients that we harvested them from. With any luck, we'll be doing that sometime in 2006.
1-800-989-8255. If you'd like to talk about this Johns Hopkins heart cell research with Dr. Eduardo Marban. So if someone has a heart attack, theoretically, could you harvest the stem cells and then give them back and repair the heart?
That's exactly what we're contemplating. We would bring a patient in to the hospital at the same time as they usually are treated with a heart attack, do our best to heal them using conventional therapy, but at the same time take a little snippet of their heart muscle, grow that up in a dish, and if they're still suffering from damaged heart syndrome or sort of heart failure a month later, bring them back in and reimplant the cells using a catheter that is specialized so that we can poke a needle into the heart and inject these cells.
And you would inject it right to the damaged area, or would they find their own way to the damaged spot?
We'd probably start by injecting in the periphery, sort of at the junction between the clearly damaged and apparently dead area of the heart or scarred area and the normal area, thinking that there they'd have a chance to engraft and survive, but still send out living tentacles, as it were, into the scar. Having said that, we really don't know exactly what would be best. Is it possible to inject it completely into normal muscle or completely into the scar? We'll certainly pursue those questions in parallel in animal models while trying to do our best to advance the treatments for humans.
You talked about heart failure. Is there a difference between a heart attack and treating a heart failure?
Right. Heart attack is the vernacular for a very common condition of coronary thrombosis. So one of the arteries that feeds the heart is clogged up by a clot that usually forms on the site of cholesterol and calcium deposition with hardening of the arteries. And one of the consequences of a heart attack is death of some of the heart muscle that it feeds. That's the scar. And if this happens enough, or if it's severe enough, if it happens frequently enough, or if a single heart attack is severe enough, the patient is left with a weak overall heart function. Mm-hmm. And that's what we call heart failure. Mm-hmm. And heart failure is something that afflicts not only patients who have had heart attacks, but other kinds of patients who have had, for example, longstanding high blood pressure or certain viral diseases. It's very common. It afflicts more than 15 million people in America.
Yeah. Well, which makes me think that if you have a history of heart disease, you know, if you have all these signs that you have heart disease, but you haven't had a heart attack or heart failure, could you not get stem cells banked in advance?
Absolutely.
You know?
This is one possibility is that at a certain age, if people who have identifiable risk factors or a family history may choose to come in, have this 15-minute outpatient procedure done, and have their cells banked for possible future use in an emergency.
Interesting. Let's go to the phones, 1-800-989-8255. Alex in Miami, how's the weather in Miami today?
It's nice.
Why am I not surprised? Go ahead.
My question is theoretically, would this be something that we will be able to use for other organs as well?
Well, certainly, it's a possibility. These resident stem cells that live within an organ to repair normal wear and tear, are recognized to exist, for example, in skeletal muscle, the kinds of muscles we use for running and for athletic work. And it's possible that they could be harvested and used specifically for repair in some of those organs, for example. Resident stem cells can be found in almost every organ that they've been looked at. The big surprise really was in the heart, where nobody expected to find them.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
And they found in the brain where nobody expected to find them, right?
They have been found in the brain. It's not clear whether they're going to have regenerative capacity. Mm-hmm. The brain is such a complex and heterogeneous organ that it's hard to believe that a stem cell, for example, will be able to regenerate memories. But in the heart, to a first extent, most of the cells have the same job. It's easier to imagine that one stem cell can repopulate the necessary population for normal function.
And I'm fascinated by the act of taking them out and growing them in a laboratory dish. You call these cells cardiospheres, like little hearts in a dish.
Well, the individual cells that we get out, we call stem cells because
right.
They're capable of self-replicating and differentiating when injected into something that begins to look like normal heart muscle. If we leave them in a dish in suspension culture, it's a technical way of saying we just leave them in a dish and don't let them attach to the surfaces that they're growing on, they self-organize into little spherical clusters that we call cardiospheres. They were dubbed cardiospheres, actually, by Messina and collaborators in the University of Rome who first described them. And these things look like they're trying to become little hearts in a dish. We can coax them under certain conditions to beat, to generate electrical signals. And so they're an interesting model of how the heart might develop normally, but certainly they also might offer a special advantage in therapy. Maybe it's better to inject these cardiospheres than just raw stem cells. We don't know yet.
Interesting. Ken in Shelburne Falls, Massachusetts. Hi, Ken.
Hi. I'm interested in this because I have a condition called ARVD, which is a kind of cardiomyopathy. It's a degeneration of the heart muscle. And I'm just curious if something like this would be applicable in the future.
Well, Ken, as you may know, we have a special interest in ARVD here at Hopkins. Hugh Calkins directs a center on this. And we haven't yet thought about whether stem cell therapy might be useful for ARVD, but we have considered the possibility that maybe stem cells gone awry might be culpable for some forms of ARVD. So stay tuned. We're thinking about you.
Thanks for calling. Well, go ahead. You want to ask a question? Go ahead, Ken. Ken, no?
Yes, I was just wondering if maybe familial stem cells might be of help. You know, just if my stem cells are bad, somebody in my family might be close enough. I don't know.
Well, good thought. One of the advantages that we see immediately for cardiac stem cells is in their autologous use, having them harvested from an individual and then put back into the same individual. And that's obviously something that will have some hope of working if the stem cells themselves are okay. But if there were some problem with the stem cells, then the kind of thing you're talking about, trying to look for a good genetic match but not necessarily autologously, would certainly be an alternative, and it's something we'll look at. One thing you need to recognize, and everybody listening needs to recognize, is that these cells were only discovered about 14 months ago. So we've still got a lot to learn about their fundamental biology, why they're there, how we can harness them to do what they're supposed to do normally, and also how we can harness them to treat disease.
Thanks, Ken.
Thanks a lot.
Happy holiday.
You too. Bye.
Is it possible to repair damaged artery cells? You know, I'm just thinking, isn't hardening of the arteries or atherosclerosis, inflammation of cell, the walls of this the arteries, is there damage there that stem cells might be able to repair?
Indeed, there is. And there's an increasing realization that the walls of blood vessels are constantly being regenerated to a certain extent by stem cells that originate possibly in the blood, in the blood-borne elements. And so something in the blood can give rise to a stem cell that can help repair blood vessels. Interestingly, these cardiac stem cells not only grow heart muscle, but they also seem to be capable of producing the small vessels that feed the heart muscle, so that it's one cell can produce several tissue types, all of which are relevant to the function of the normal heart.
And, of course, it's your own cell here, so there's no rejection.
Exactly. That's the beautiful thing about this. Other kinds of stem cells, which might create practical issues with regard to rejection or with regard to the creation of tumors. These things come from the same place that they're going into, so we would hope that neither of those would be an issue.
Well, lay out for us the roadmap of where you take this research now.
Well, the first step is to continue doing what we're doing now, which is to optimize the conditions for harvesting, growing the cells, and to do so under a standardized condition. Once we're satisfied that we've done our best to optimize that process, we'll reduce it to what's called GMP manufacturing principles. We have to get them down to the point that GMP stands for good manufacturing practices. We have to be able to write down every single step of the way, record it, do it the same way time after time, so that then we can convince the regulatory agencies, both those at the FDA and here at Hopkins in our own institutional review board, that what we're going to do is ethically viable and safe, and then we'll try actually doing it in a patient. It's going to take us at least a year to do what I've just described. It sounds simple conceptually, but there's a lot of trial and error and a lot of very methodical work involved.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about stem cells research this hour, an update on Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News. Talking with Dr. Eduardo Marban of Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine in Balmer, as they say down there. 1-800-989-8255 is our number. Let's go to Travis in Durham, North Carolina. Hi, Travis. Travis, are you there? Oh, guess it's Travis. Sorry, Travis. Let's go to Ryan in Wichita, Kansas. Hi, Ryan.
Hi.
Hi there.
I had a question regarding whether or not these cells would be useful in treating congenital heart defects such as valve disease.
We think that it would be useful in treating the consequences of congenital heart disease, one of which is heart failure. So some patients who have valve disease develop heart failure from overwork of the heart, and there's no reason to expect that the stem cells couldn't be harnessed to treat the weakening of the heart muscle in that condition. Whether they can regrow actual valves is debatable at this point. I think it's much more likely that we would do conventional treatments for the valves involving surgical replacements. but then concentrate on fortifying the heart muscle, possibly with stem cells. So I'd say yes, it's likely that'll work out.
Thank you, Ryan.
Thank you.
Let's now go to Annapolis, Maryland. Hi, Dan. Welcome to Science Friday.
Hi, I have a question for Dr. Marban regarding patient safety.
Yes.
I had an investigational procedure done at Hopkins a couple of years ago, and she almost died there. And I'm wondering what steps you go through to make sure that these things are absolutely safe. Because her mitral valve was destroyed and was with Dr. Calkins, whom you mentioned before.
Dr. Marban?
Yes. I don't want to comment on any specific patient in which there's litigation or problems in the past, so I don't think this is an appropriate use of the airtime here.
What about patient safety in general?
Patient safety in general, this is not the question regarded somebody who came in for a clinically indicated procedure and had a complication. This would not be a clinically indicated procedure in the first instance. It would be a research process in which patients would be volunteering for a clinical trial that in the first instance would be a phase one clinical trial, a highly regulated FDA-approved, internally monitored trial, which really would focus exclusively on safety. Can we deliver these cells safely? Do they harm the patient in any way? We would, in the inclusion criteria, the design of the trial, take every effort to make sure that the patients who qualify have built-in or very tightly regulated kind of backup mechanisms in place should there be any kind of complication. We would probably do the first set of experiments in the hospital so that the patients could be watched very closely. So I think it's different from any kind of anecdotal cases of complications in the course of a clinically indicated procedure, because at least what we're looking for in the first 3 to 4 or 5 years is really finding out whether or not this can be done safely, and secondly, whether it's efficacious, whether it works.
So so you're talking about if any real clinical use of this past the testing phase, that it's 5 years or longer away.
Right. So I would imagine that sometime in 2006, if we're fortunate, we can begin doing the initial safety studies in patients to see if we can harvest and give back the cells without undue complications. Then once we've answered that question, which would logically and usually take a year or two, then we can go in with the second question, is not only is it safe, but does it work? And that would also be a very tightly monitored clinical trial design with close observation for safety.
Dr. Marban, thank you for taking time to talk with us.
All right, you're welcome, and I just want to acknowledge the Donald W. Reynolds Foundation that gave us the funding to pursue this work.
All right, Dr. Eduardo Marban, Chief of Cardiology at the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine in Baltimore. We're going to take a short break, go back and change gears again, stay with us, and talk for the rest of the hour about a new way of teaching math. There's a Singapore method you may have been hearing about. Schools in that country do great on math scores. Maybe we can learn it here. Some schools already have. Stay with us. We'll be right back.